Okay, we're picking up four lines from the bottom of Yud Beis. Amud Beis, our learning is once again sponsored. Le'ula Nishma Shulamis Bas Yaakov. The Neshama should have an Aliyah. We're picking up from the words of Mike Amrulay. We really were discussing the machlokas between Rabbi Lazar and Rabbi Meir about the idea if it's a zechus or not for the Eved to go free. What exactly was the back and forth? So that's what the Gemara immediately asks. Mike Amrulay, what did Rabbi Lazar and the Chachamim say to Rabbi Meir? Umayka Ma'adrulay, what did Rabbi Meir reply to them? What exactly was the machlokas? Meaning, as Rashi points out, what exactly, in Rabbi Meir's answer, talking about a slave who runs away, how is that answering the question that Rabbi Lazar and the Chachamim asked, which is referring to the fact that the Adon doesn't have a chiyuv to provide food for the slave? So how exactly is that an answer? So says the Gemara, Hachi Ka'amart Luhu. This is what Rabbi Meir is responding to them. Hish b'suni al mezonos. You answered me correct that the master has the ability to you've answered me that the slave loses out when he's freed. Okay, Vamati Shivuni ala Truma. What are you going to answer me with regards to the Truma that an Eved Kohen has when he is freed? The fact that an Eved Kohen is able to eat Truma, so the halacha is that he's going to lose out on that ability. So Rav Meir agrees that the loss of the food is not a disadvantage for being freed, because the Adon could just as well stop feeding the Kohen without freeing him. So the Eved Kohen is no different, but Rav Meir argues that there is another loss, which is the fact that if it's an Eved Kohen, he could continue eating Truma, to which the Gemara says, well, you can suggest the following. So then Adon should just forcibly throw a document of emancipation at him, and that Shtar Shichra will disqualify him from eating Truma. Just like what we learn now, again, Lala, Yishuv, and a lot of different halachas, just like a woman, Midaraisa, is allowed to be given a get against her will, Ba'karcha, so too, on a level of Daraisa, a Eved can be freed against his will. So the Gemara says, Rav Meir responds the following, Shavik le Varik, Vazil Alma. What's he gonna do? He could stop this by running away. He's going to run away to somewhere, nowheresville, and he's going to be hidden. And therefore, he never took his Shtar Shechor, he never took his emancipation document, and he would remain an Eved Kohen. If he remains an Eved Kohen, he can go to all the basic runos and collect Truma, and he could collect Truma, and he could also collect, buy, as Tosfos pointed out, he could also buy produce at a much cheaper level, supply and demand. If something is only Shaykh to Kohanim, only in the state of Tara also, not even on their Tame, so then this obviously is a mila that the Kohen continue eating. Turning on to Gimel Lamed Aleph. Now, Uma Ilu Eved Kohen Shebarach. Now, if a Kohen slave ran away before the Adon could free him, Eishes Kohen Shemardal, by the similarly, a wife of Eishes Kohen, also, she fled before her husband had the chance to give her the divorce. Allah Ochel Mitzruma, the Lach is, they're both allowed to continuous eating Truma. Vizet Ein Ochel, however, this slave is not able to continue eating Truma. So therefore, we see that there is a chov, there is a disadvantage to be freed, according to Rabbi Meir. So the Gemara says, oh, now that's such a good svara, that Shapir Kamarlu, that's such a good answer. The Rabbi Meir responded, what are they responding? The Chama going to respond to that? So the Gemara says, Amar Rava, Haimnu Dekama Hadri Lebe Masnis. And that exactly is the lesson what our Mishnah is referring to. Mipnei Shehu Kinyano, that the slave is in fact the property of the Adon, and therefore, Dibai Shakil Arba Zuzim Yisrael. Arba Zuzim is just like the standard lesson the Gemara we use oftentimes to mention something insignificant. He could go to his friend Reuven, who's a Yisrael, and he'll say, Reuven, here for like $2, would you want to buy my slave in the event that we capture him and we'll take it back? He's like, for $2, it's definitely a good investment. What do I have to lose? He's worth hundreds of dollars otherwise. So I'll buy him for $2. And now, all of a sudden, he turns into Yisrael. So this, since the Adon has the ability to apostle him wherever he wants, he can sell him wherever he wants. So therefore, that is not his chus for it's not necessarily a chol, rather, for the guy to remain in a status of an Eved Knaini, because he can lose that status very quickly if the Adon decides to sell him. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Meir, now Rabbi Meir says that it's Tenach Eved Kohen. Fine, okay, we understand Rabbi Meir's argument back where he was saying that at the end of the day he's remaining an Eved Kohen, it's still closer to Meisah. Fine, I understand Rabbi Meir with regards to Eved Kohen. But how does Rabbi Meir say it across the board? Eved Yisrael, Michael Abimer, when it comes to an Eved Yisrael, how could he eat? He never eats Truma. So what is the disadvantage that Rabbi Meir understands that you should not be freed when it comes to the case of an Eved Knaini, who is the property of Yisrael? So Gemara says, Amar Shmubari, it's Lamnation Masidim Meshivcha Kindness. No, there is something that he loses out on. He loses out on the ability to have relations be permitted to a Shivcha Kindness. A Shivcha Kindness is a same version of an Eved Knaini. She's just a female slave woman of Yisrael, and she's an Eved Knaini, and she's a Shivcha Knaini, and Allah says he's allowed to be with her. So he wants to remain with her. So the Gemara says, what Adrabban, what do you mean? Are you with Tavras Choy? Now she can marry Basis. He can marry Basis. Surely he's a Yid. He's a full-fledged Yid now. Level Derace is a full Yid. He's allowed to marry a Yid, so that's better for him. So the Gemara says, no, because Avda Befker Nichale, a slave prefers to live a life of enjoyment in Olam Hazeh. That's Goyim in general. That's the whole nature of the whole world around us, which we often have to be very careful not to be influenced by. That we have to recognize that a lot of the culture, a lot of the values that are ingrained in our lives, unfortunately, come from the Goyim, are not Jewish values at all. Many of the ideas of capitalism also, like every man for himself, is not at all. We have a chiyuv of tzedakah, that is, we have a chiyuv of tzedakah for the kupa, a chiyuv of tzedakah for the community. We won't believe that all your money is just yours to free for all. And also, it's not a free country to do whatever you want. All those things are not Jewish values necessarily. Certain things we do appreciate from the goyim. But so the idea over here is that an eved just wants to do whatever he wants, and that he's more likely to find with the shivcha kindness. Zilalei shchichalei peritzalei, because she could be someone who's cheap to him, he doesn't care about, he's available to him, she could be promiscuous with him, she could have relations whatever they want, they could have relations however they want, and you know, need to, although halachas, the Chor actually do have to give nida, but either way, other halachas, then still, the way that they're having relations, the way they treat each other, not like a Bas Yisrael, we see a Shalom Bayis lessons, that Bas Yisrael is a princess, you have to treat her accordingly, and that's why the Eved's scared of such a thing, but that's a culture game for us, who has the schus to be married to Bas Yisrael, then we should be treating them like the princess that they are. Says the Mishnah Vayter. Ha'omer tnu get le'ishti. If a person says, give a get to my wife, shtar shichur zeh la'avdi, give this document to my slave, umes, and he dies before the shtar is delivered. Lo yitnu lachar misa. The lacha is, you're not able to give it after misa, because a get or a shtar shichur is not effective until it's handed over to the person who intended to receive it. So, and that cannot be done because the guy died, and ena mesim regarshim. Now, had it been possible, then you would have thought maybe it's beneficial for the woman because she doesn't have to deal with being a naguna for chalitza. Let's say there's a brother around and she has children or other circumstances that it might be that it's beneficial to her to have a divorce. So there, even those circumstances, it would not be applicable. Now Rashi points out that in the previous Mishnah we mentioned that the Chachamim hold that since it's beneficial for a slave to go free, the moment you give the shtar shichra to the shaliach, he cannot retract it because zachin adam shalav afanav. Our Mishnah is a liba dekoli ama because we're not talking about a case where the actual star had been given to the shliach yet. So that's why the lashon of zeh lechor is not in the gersa. It shouldn't be star shichur zeh, it should be star shichur. He just commissioned that it should be written. He didn't actually give it over to the shliach in order to give it over yet, because then it would be the din of the chachamim would hold that you would not, you would in fact be able to give it to him to be free. Okay, so then it's new money leish plani. The Mishnah continues, however, if someone says, give $1,000 to Reuven, my good friend, before on his deathbed, umes, the guy dies before it was given to him, yitnu lachar misa. That halacha is should be given after misa. The Gemara is going to immediately ask, why is there a chilek? The Gemara is going to get into this. So says the Gemara now. Amar Rav Yitzchak bar Shmuel bar Marsa b'shmei d'Rav v'hu tshu t'ribur n'munachin b'karen zavis. That the idea of the money can be given after the guy dies is only applicable to the coins that were piled up literally and put in a corner of the room, and they were clear that it was instructed by the person dying, the person on his deathbed, which ones he wanted to give. He didn't say just give him $1,000, rather give these coins that I have over there to so-and-so, and then it would be, in fact, a valid kinyan after. So Mara says, but my asking, but what case are we dealing with over here? Ile Mababari, you're going to tell me that we're talking about a healthy person who's not seriously ill. He says, by the way, Reuben's a good friend. Could you give me those $10,000 I had on the side of my house? And then the guy had a heart attack the next day and dies. So you have to give it to Reuben. So that, the Gemara says, keep to where in my house, who cares that they're piled up? Hai lo mashach, there is no kinyan. Right? The Aleph Beis of Kinyanim, as the Rambam always tells us, is ena mekach niknes b'svarim, that you're not able with words to learn to be able to give over something from one person to the other. My Mishlosha might be the only exception to that rule and Kinyan Adisa, but Ba'etzam, that is the general halacha, that you needed a formal transaction to be able to continue, whether it's a Mashiach, whether it's actually writing of the Shtar, whatever it is, writing of a document, that is how money is transferred. But here, there was no way to transfer the money, so therefore it can't be dealing with a person who was healthy at the time. The Ela Meshchimra, so they're going to say that we're talking about a case of a person who's on his deathbed who made this declaration. My area Tzibur. And so why does Rav care if they have to be piled and specifically mentioned? And the fact that he said, give $1,000 to Reuven, my best friend, then Ki Ein Tzibur Nami. So even if they're not piled up, the halacha is that they should give the gift after the guy dies. The Hakai Malan, the Divrei Shchimra, as I mentioned many times, the halacha is a person on his deathbed. We consider it as if they were written and handed over. There was a full-fledged kinyan, and the whole reason is because we have the guy fearing that his words aren't going to be carried out, his health is going to decline even further. So to prevent the fact that his health is going to decline even further, we have the halacha that whatever he says is actually going to be considered given over. So then, if that's the case, you don't need to be tziburin. So what was exactly Rav referring to? So it says the Gemara Amar Zvid. So Rav Zvid came to suggest for Rav, La'olam bibari. Rather, the Mishnah is dealing with a healthy person. Uchad Rav Huna Amar Rav. And this is like the Shita of Rav Huna Amar Rav in a different context. So what is that? Amar Rav Huna Amar Rav. Mana lebiadcha. So if a person says, I have a mana of mine, and it's tmeil leponi, that I gave over to Reuven $1,000, right, or $100, well, let's make it easy, one bill, $100 bill to Reuven. So now, and Reuven was watching it for me, not as a halva, I just give it to him to watch for me. So then I say to give it to Shimon. But my bet solution is kana. If Shimon is there, I am there, and Reuven is there. So the halacha is that that is a halacha of my bet shloshtan, and such a declaration would be valid. The fact that I'm declaring it in the presence of all three people, the item is considered transferred. So if I have money and I have that the $100 bill, and I say to give it over to if Reuven was watching for me, I say to give it over to Shimon. If Reuven and Shimon are all in my presence, the halacha is that it works. So according to Rav Zvid, that if you have a pikadon, that is respect to that halacha is only going to apply to things of a pikadon. If it's something that's actual, it's actual tangible. Because something that's a pikadon is really you're just a shaliach on my possession anyway. Reuven's just watching the item for me. So therefore, the owner can transfer the object to third party continuing that shlichus kilu saying to be mezakeh for somebody else. However, when it comes to a halva, when it comes to a loan, so if I lent Reuven $100 and Reuven now owes me $100, so there's nothing tangible to that. All it is a debt of $100 that Reuven owes me. So I can't necessarily tell Reuven to transfer that debt to Shimon in the presence of Shimon because that is not something which is tangible. So therefore, he understands that we're talking about a healthy person, and since it's a pikadon, he's able to give it over. So that's what Mishnah is referring to, and therefore Rav is telling the Mishnah is they have to be tziburin, because we have to be referring to a specific amount of money that he was referring to, because if you, and the guy had his money, that's the nekud you have to make, is that in the example that we give, Reuven had my money, and that's the case of the Mishnah, and that moment, the person is able to transfer it to the third party, even after the guy dies, the first guy dies, then it's going to be okay. So that's the answer to how we answer Rav. Okay, right. That's what we're answering Rav. That it's a maimet shloshtan, and that's why it's effective in the case where because it was a pikadon but maimet shloshtan. So the Gemara says Rav Papa says different answer to the Mishnah. Rav Papa Amar la'olam b'shchimer. Rav Papa says really we're talking about a person who is on his deathbed. Ulcheidach the Rav. A different maimer of Rav. Rav damar Rav shchimer shamar tzinemanu leponei menechasa. If a person is very sick, tells his shlichim to give a money of my property to so-and-so upon his death, and the guy dies, money zeh nosin. If the guy says this particular money, then the halacha they're giving to him. However, money's time, he just says, give $1,000, ain't nosin. We don't do it. Why? Why shouldn't we? By shlimera, we said, kol divrei shlimera kichsurim masurim damu. Why is that different over here? Because chashin and shana money cover ka'amar. Where there's a remote possibility that maybe he didn't mean the $1,000 that he had in his drawer, rather meant he had some $1,000 under his pillow that we don't know about, that he hid. And that buried money, we don't know where it is, and therefore, the family could say, go bring a proof. Which $1,000 my father want to give you? I don't know what she's talking about. And therefore, it only applies to a mana which had been identified. And in that case, it should be given over. However, the halacha is not like Rav Papa. The halacha is that we're not choshev. It's such a far-fetched thing. The guy said he wants to give $1,000. We assume the $1,000 that he has in front of him, that's the $1,000 he wanted to give. So therefore, the halacha is, in such a case, we would not be choshesh for kivura. That's that is the machlokas between Rav Zvid and Rav Papa, how to explain the Mishnah. So now the Gemara says, why does each one not hold like the other? Rav Papa, my time, alo amar Rav Zvid. Rav Papa, what's your reasoning? Why don't you hold like Rav Zvid? That according to Rav, the Mishnah is dealing with the case of Maimet Shloshtan. What's the problem? Turning on to Gimel Beis now. Says the Gemara, Kasavar Rav Papa, ki amar Rav, lo shna b'milva, lo shna b'pikadon. Rav Papa holds that when Rav said this statement, the halach of a Maimet Shloshtan, he didn't make a distinction between a loan and an object of a pikadon. That svara that we gave, that you can't give something which isn't tangible, who says that's the case? Rav would agree that something that's not tangible also could be given through the special maimet shloshtan and can be passed over. Even a debt, which is not tangible, can be given by maimet shloshtan. So now the Gemara says, Rizvid, my time alamar kara papa. So now Rizvid, why didn't you hold like kara papa? That the Mishnah is talking about a case of Ishchimra, because you can't explain our Mishnah according to the person on his deathbed. From what part of the Mishnah was Rav bothered by? From the fact that the Mishnah tells us that if someone says to his shaliach, give a get to my wife, or a star shikhar to my evit, and the guy dies before the document's delivered, lo yitnu lachar misa, lach over there, the shliach should not be giving it after the death. Taima deme, so that applies the only reason that the get's not delivered to the wife is that the husband died, and a get after the misa is not chal. ha mechayim nosnim. But if the husband is alive, the shaliach could give her the get on the basis of her husband's instruction that he should give it to her, that he could assume he should be giving to her. Taima damar tznu. But the Mishnah seems to imply that the reason the shaliach had given the get, if the husband were still alive, is that he said explicitly, give the get to my wife, rather than write a get for my wife. That the lashon of tznu was different. That's why. That's the only reason that he said give a get, so that would be different. However, if the husband didn't say give a get to my wife, rather, ksov get in nosnin, then the implication from this mission would be that we would not be allowed to give the get to the wife, even if he just said, if he just write ksov, because ksov doesn't necessarily imply that he means to give it over also. So now, it says the Gemara, Ushchimera, Afagav, Delomar, Tnu, Nosnim. But that's not true. We know from a different Mishnah that if a Shchimera, a person on his deathbed, just says, so even a person who's not necessarily on his deathbed, as we're going to see in a moment, a person who's in a situation where he's going abroad and he's afraid he might not come back, all these situations, if he just says, write a get, we clearly understand it to mean write and give over the get. It's not, as we learn in the Mishnah, Birushonai Omrim, originally they said, Ayotza, Bekola, Varma, Kisu, Get, Leishti, Areza, Ela, Yichtu, Vietnu. A person is being taken out in chains. Literally, he's on his, about to get executed. He's on death row. So then, and he says, write a get for my wife. The lacha is that the person who is watching may write and give the get to his wife. Hachazu lomar, however, the chachamim later said, afa mefarish v'yotze b'shayara, that even the one who leaves out in the ocean, meaning he's going on a long journey, or he leaves in a caravan to travel in deserts to do different business, that he's also subject to the same halacha, that if he writes kisvu, he clearly meant to write and also give over. Reb Shimon Shazuri meant afa misuk. And Reb Shimon Shazuri says, even a very sick person has the same halacha. So what do we see from Reb Shimon Shazuri? That even a sick person has this halacha, that if he just writes ksov, that he's allowed to give over the get. So our Mishnah would then be so sir, Reb Shimon Shazuri. Our Mishnah would say that that's not true, that if you write kisvu, the implication for our Mishnah is that it's not valid. Hey, how is that possible though? We have this Mishnah of Reb Shimon Shazuri saying that doesn't work. So the Gemara says, but why do you have to assume our Mishnah follows Reb Shimon Shazuri? He's only one Tana. Maskil Ravashi. Maybe our Mishnah holds that if it's a person who's very sick, who says kisvu, that's not enough, and it's not a problem. The diuk would be against Reb Shimon Shazuri. Fine. Okay. And Reb Shimon Shazuri would disagree with that. But the very Mishnah that we quoted, that Mishnah that we're quoting, later on, is going to be against Rosh Hashanah Zeruah. The Tanakhama disagrees with Rosh Hashanah Zeruah. They didn't mention the halacha of someone who's very sick. So if I not mention it, they disagree. So our Mishnah is, in fact, maybe like the Tanakhama, and be discussing a Shchimera like Rav Papa wanted to suggest. So that is the Gemara's answer, but that is l'chora what Rav didn't like about Rav Papa. The Gemara seemed to defend Rav Papa, but that was the Shaila back and forth between Rav Papa and Rav Zvid. Now the Gemara goes back to analyze the din of Maimich Shloshim Gufa. Amar Rav Huna, Amar Rav, Mane Lebi Ad Chatanei Leploni. If a person says, you have this money, this $100 bill I give you to watch, this specific $100 bill, I say give it to Shimon. But Maimich Shloshim Kana, the lacha is Maimich Shloshim, it works. Amar Rav, Mistavra Milsa, the Rav, Epikadu. So now going back to the lacha we originally discussed, it was kind of difficult. We mentioned already the Maskana of the Gemara without discussing it yet. Now we're going to get into it. The Gemara is discussing what's the chilak of Rav. That it should only be like something that we just mentioned, is something which is a positive, a pikada that you're watching for me, because that's a tangible item which can then be later given out to someone else. That makes sense. But if it's just a loan, which is a debt, right? I give you $100. That same $100 bill, you obviously milva lo tzani. Now you can do whatever you want with that $100. You just have a debt to me. So that's not something which is tangible. So it doesn't make sense that through just a maimar, through my dibur alone, I should be able to give it over. L'chora, that's difficult. So Velokim, however, it's the lashon of Shvuah. Amar Rav, Afilu b'milva. I was so shocked. Rav, in fact, did say that the halacha does without a svara lechora. He said it does apply to a loan. Also, you could transfer it over. Says the Gemara, Itmar Nami. Amar Shmuel, Mishmei Levi. Shmuel's in the name of Levi. Milva Levi Adecha Taneil Leploni. If you have an outstanding loan, and I say that to give it to so and so, but Maimet Shloshan Kana. Halacha is if he says it in a Maimet Shloshan in the presence of all three, the halacha is that you would be koneit. So the Gemara says, "V'tayim amai." So what's the reason? Why is Maimet Shloshan work to give a debt which is a not tangible item? It's not tangible. I understand when it comes to giving over, I give you a phone to watch. I give you money to a specific dollar, $100 bill to watch. That I can give over because it's a tangible thing I'm saying to give to someone else. How can you give over without a shtar? Right? It's pashut that you can't give over a debt through shtar. That's the selling of debts is very common in America, right? That's the thing that happens in real estate, etc. But selling a debt can only be done with a shtar through the lashon. It can't be done through just dibur alone. So says Gemara Amar Amimar Nase Keomer La B'Shas Matan Mo. So what are we assuming? It's like the Malve said to the Love that Shabana lach, or really the Love says to the Malve, Shabana lach ledidach lechol da'asim ach masach, that I am obligating myself to you and to anyone who you may designate to come in your place to accept that money, and that's why you're able to give it. There's an unspoken agreement that occurs, so therefore every single Love is agreeing to this when he takes his halva. So it says the Gemara, Amar le'Ravash le'Meimer, Ela me'ata, but that's not true. I'll bring you right, it's not true. Akona le'Noldem, Delavi b'Shas Matan Mos, then the Nafkamina for what you're saying is that a newborn baby who is born after this halva took place should not be able to take over the halva. That's not true. If I lend Reuven money, and Reuven dies, and he has a son, Shimon, who was born after I give him the halva, and now 5 years or whatever, older later, at some point when he's bar mitzvah, he comes to me and says, I have a loan that is owed to him. So, or let's just assume he has not been joked, active, whatever it is. So now he comes. The law says, I father have to pay him. His father transferred the loan to him, or it wasn't even his son. It could be a random other guy who was born later who was very close with. A good friend of him was born after this halal took place. You're going to tell me, Achanami, the law is going to be that he's not kone that item? Of course he is. Now the Gemara says, the Afilu Rebbe Meir, the Amar Sinai, you'll say maybe it's through the concept of it's a damakna davar shelo bala olam. That there's a famous machlokas, Rebbe Meir, of like deca la peris, of a palm tree. If I sell you, can I sell you fruits that haven't grown yet? So if I own the palm tree, Rebbe Meir says, since the palm tree is in the world, or similarly, can I sell you fish that didn't catch yet because I have the net there, that it's going to catch them? So Rebbe Meir says, yes, adam machna davar shelo olam. So the Gemara points out, though, even Rebbe Meir, who so far says, adam machna davar shelo olam, that's only something which itself, meaning the net is in the world, the tree is in the world, and the thing that it produces, i.e. catching the fish, or the things that grow from the tree, that has not grown yet. Okay, I understand that is something which a Rebbe Meir understands can be mapped to that. However, but a person who hasn't even come born to the world, he's nowhere around, then you would definitely agree that you can't be not mapped as something for him. So how, according to our member, how could it be the whole idea should not work for somebody who's born afterwards, which is not the case. We know that is. You are able to be makdim first. You can give that loan over to someone else who was born after the transaction took place. So says the Gemara, another answer. Ela Maravashi, turning on that to Yadal Ramon Aleph. The benefit which you are deriving, the loan, when I give it to Reuven, I give you the loan, $1,000. Now Reuven owes me the money, and I've been chepering him. It's been 2 years. He hasn't been giving it to me. You know what? I say, you know what? There's a new guy born as a birthday present. Let him deal with this loan. I give it to him as the new baby. In 5 years from now, maybe he'll start collecting when he realizes he's owed $1,000. So the Gemara says, Gomar Mashabit Nafshe. So the guy, the low vet would want, or even if it's somebody else in general, I give it to another third party, he's going to be much more flexible in the payment times. I'm so frustrated because I've been really trying to collect this loan for 2-3 years already. But now when I give it to a new guy, so he's fresh off the getting this loan. So he'll be a little bit more patient. I'll give him a few more months. I'll give him a year. Whatever I give him to pay off the loan, he'll be more patient with him. So that you will be, he'll go be gummer or mashabinasha. He is going to agree to obligate himself. It's like an unspoken agreement that occurred when he gave it to him. So the Gemara says, Amar Leir, Vunabrailer, Fachem Ravashi, Elamayata, but that doesn't work. What happens if the guy you're giving it to was a terrible mafia man who's gonna keep going Bar Yosha? Bar Yosha family, they were known. They were like mafia men. The Kasher Shakli Alter. They would tie up the guy and they took care of getting payments that were due to them, like the mafia, literally. And so then Hachanami Delokana. So then Halacha should be that I would never have agreed to that. The Lova would never agree to such an agreement where I'll sell it to a mafia man who's gonna force him to pay much quicker than I would. So therefore, the Halacha is that it shouldn't. You're gonna tell me so then it shouldn't work in that case. So the Gemara says, "Chitei ma'achanami." They're going to tell me that is in fact correct. That's not true. Imkein atzasat rechlesh yurin. Then you have subjected your halachas to each individual case. We never do that. But the halacha was meant by Chazal. It applies across the board. Maybe once in a while, certain one in a million example. But here, that's every person is going to handle their own case and establish, oh, was the second person valid for me or not? Do I want it to happen? Do I not want it to happen? And then I can go there from there on and assume whether or not that should be allowed to be transferred, that debt. That's not the case, says the Gemara. That clearly is not going to be the way Chazal instituted this. Takara by Mishloshtan. So therefore, the Gemara concludes a fascinating thing. Alamar of Zutra. Hanatas Mila Shavinra Abana Kilvaza Bolo Taima. The Chachamim had their understandings. We don't know exactly what they are. They're apparently like a Masura from Malacha Moshe Mesinai, which doesn't have any rationale to it. And then we can't really explain it Alpi Halacha. It's a specific halacha. It's like a special halacha that it's a Xeris Akasiv type of thing. So Chadaha, so first of this halacha is this one, that the Maimet Shloshtan, and how you could transfer it even by a halva works. The husband who signs and gives all of his property to his wife. So he doesn't. We don't assume that it's giving his entire estate to his wife. Rather, we assume that she is just in charge of it until the children are older. That's what he really wanted to happen, and then it should really be given over to the kids after. which is a fascinating thing. He didn't say that. He said it was given to the wife. We're able to assume that way. And further, v'idach damar of Chanina, hamasi ishul of no gadol bebayis. If someone marries off his eldest son in a special wedding house, they used to have this type of very special wedding house for very rich people. And from there, if he never lived in it, so the halacha is then kano. So that if the guy never lived in it and never used it as a storage house, he used it for own personal property, we could assume that he's giving it as a gift to his eldest son. That was like a special thing they used to do for that wedding, and that was that we can assume al pi halacha. There's no valid basis to assume that because the son never performed any kinyan. Since he didn't perform any kinyan, where do we know that it was given over to him? But we're allowed to just assume that way, even just because of a kavod for the son, whatever. Again, we don't really have a full reasoning for it, but that's the special halacha over there. Okay, Be'ezras Hashem, will pick up with Amar Lei, L'Rav Acha, Bar Dila, Be'ezras Hashem, in tomorrow's daf.